thank you, dear God. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm turning the Word of God to Philippians. Philippians, the third chapter. Praise God. Again, reading at the seventh verse. Amen. Praise God. Everyone, remember our pastor in prayer this week. Amen. You have a safe trip back and everything be all right. Remember the services Thursday night. Brother Kelly will be back tomorrow, Lord's willing, and he'll be here Thursday night. And just look forward to great and wonderful things from the Lord. Amen. Services over the weekend. Let's invite someone out to church. Everyone, say invite someone out to church. Invite someone out to church. Okay. And don't just tell somebody else to do it. You do it. Amen. You do it. Praise God. Third chapter of Philippians, beginning at the seventh verse. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word tonight, everyone. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. That I may know him. A couple of months ago, when I think about one of the last times that I was in service here before I was gone for about a couple of months, the Lord had been talking to me about this scripture, and I think I may have mentioned it when I said something testifying. But to me, I guess this is one of the most powerful scriptures there is in the Word of God. It means so much to come from the mouth, from the pen of Paul, that he wrote this. And it had to be somewhere later on in his ministry. Most of the letters he wrote while he was in jail in Rome, waiting to be executed, waiting to be slain. Just waiting for the time when he would go before Caesar, and Caesar would say, well, that's all, Paul, time for you to die. And he wrote most of these letters then, and at that time he wrote it, he said, that I may know him. He didn't say that I already know everything there is to know. I've already learned everything that I can learn. I've been taught in the desert by Jesus Christ himself. Even he said, the things I learned not from men, he said, but I learned from God. had went through so many different things. He had been shipwrecked. He had been stoned. He had been beat with a rod thrice, I think it was. And five times, I believe it was, he received 40 stripes, save one. A day and a night in the deep. So many different things Paul had went through. Faced so many things for the name of the Lord. Been imprisoned. Was in jail at Philippi. Had been beaten, put in jail. When he could have spoke up and say, "Hey, I'm a Roman citizen. Y'all can't do this to me." But yet he suffered it. Let it be so. Then he got up at midnight and started singing praises and worshiping God. Him and Silas did, and the gates of the prison were flung open, and they could have walked out. But Paul stayed around long enough to have a revival there. Paul, he wasn't afraid of anything. He wasn't afraid of man. He wasn't afraid of what dangers he could go through. He'd been through a lot, but he said, "I count everything that I've ever faced, everything that I've ever went through, I count it all but loss. I count it nothing but dung that I may win Christ, that I may win Christ, that I may win Christ," he said, "that I may know him, that I might somehow know him." Paul, you should have known Christ by then. If anybody in this world knows him, the things you went through for him, the things you faced, you ought to be able to say, "I know him. I know the Lord more than anything, more than anybody else." And Paul wasn't afraid to boast in the Lord. He wasn't afraid to talk about the things he did for God. He wasn't afraid of those things. But yet he still said, "I still want to know Christ. I still want to know him." You know, many times in this life I wonder, what do we really know? How big is our knowledge really? Most of us, I guess, graduated from high school anyhow. The ones that's not, it's on their way. But if I went back to try to remember some of the things I learned in school, if I tried to work out a geometry problem right now, I'd be lost. I couldn't do it to save my life. I couldn't work out an algebra problem right now because I just don't deal in those things. I don't work with those kind of things anymore, so they're not important to me. If I tried to remember some of the stories that I read in my literature class, I couldn't remember them. I couldn't remember the things I went and studied. Knowledge is things that we keep ever before us, things that we keep trying to attain, trying to get better at, is really what knowledge is all about. The things that we keep within in our mind and we hold them there and we practice using them, those are the things that we keep right there. We forget things because we don't use those things. We forget to, and that's what has happened to a lot of people. They say, "Well, I knew the Lord." And the day they don't know the Lord no more than they know anything else, because they didn't keep the Lord ever before him, because they didn't keep studying about him. They didn't keep trying to find out more about the Lord. When my little brother Barry, when he was little, he don't like me to use him as an example, but I'm going to do it, okay, Barry? When he was real little now, I'd come off with something and I'd tell him something. He said, "You know everything, don't you?" But today, I tell him something, he said, "Oh, you don't know anything." You know, that's the difference. He, you know, he's getting to where he thinks he knows a little bit of, has a little bit of knowledge, and I don't know anything. He knows it all now, and I don't know anything. But a few years back, he thought I knew everything. He thought everybody that knew anybody that told him anything, he thought they knew everything there was to know. When you know a little bit, people tend to think, well, you've got a lot of knowledge. And when you exploit your knowledge, they seem to think you might have a little bit more. But we really don't know very much. We really don't know very much about Jesus, really, like we should. We haven't found all we need to know about this word. There's things, when we go back, I've heard people through the years testify, and I could testify to the same thing. The many times that I read it through a scripture, I can come back to it once again after reading it through it to I don't know how many times, and I can get something else out of that scripture. I can read through the Word of God, through a book in the Word of God one time, and then I can go back and I read it again and I'll get something different than I did before. Because you cannot ever learn all there is to know about God. That's why I believe that Paul said that I may know Him. And even though he said, and the power of His resurrection. You know, Paul had experienced that resurrection power. Paul had been, he had been raised to walk in newness of life. He'd been buried with Christ in baptism. But still he said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Paul had suffered a lot. He probably had suffered as much as anybody else besides Jesus Christ Himself on this earth. But still he said, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And Paul was the one that said, I die daily. But still he said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering and being made conformable unto His death. He still wanted to know Him just a little bit more. Still wanted to find out just a little bit more about Christ. Hallelujah. There's some things that we just have to know. That's just needful. Like I said a while ago, I can't remember geometry because that's just not something I need to know. But there's some things that we have to know in order to make it in this life. If you're a carpenter, you've got to know how to be a carpenter. You've got to know how to work that trade. You've got to know the things there are. If you're a painter, you've got to know how to paint. And that's the reason I had to quit, because I didn't know how, I guess. But if you work in computers, you have to know a little bit about computers. If you work in a dental lab, you have to know something about being a dental assistant or being a dentist. You have to know something about that. There's some things you just have to know. You have to keep on, a lot of times you have to keep on studying. Some jobs you have to keep on going to school and keep up on the latest thing, because there's things that you have to know. You have to find out about. And if you're a preacher, then if you don't know anything else, you better know a little bit about the Word of God. You better know something about Jesus Christ. You better know something about how to pray. If you're going to be a saint of God, you better know how to pray. You better know how to read your Bible. You know, better know about Jesus. Hallelujah. There's some things we've got to know. And in this life, I believe the number one priority above anything else is that we know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because if we don't know Him, nothing else matters. If we don't get a personal experience with Him, get Him down deep inside of us and continue to grow, continue to learn, continue to reach, continue to expect something from God, then we will not obtain anything in this life. Our life will be worthless. Hallelujah. We've got to know about Him, because He's the one that came so far from glory to die for us, to give His life that we might have life. I'm talking about that I may know Him. Hallelujah. And the number one priority of knowing anything with any kind of knowledge we have, it better be Jesus Christ, that we want to find out more about Him. And there's a lot of different ways, I guess, a lot of different avenues we can go through and find out about the Lord, more about Him. We can find out through prayer. We can find out through reading of the Word of God. We can find out by trying the Lord, by asking Him for things and find out the things He does for us. We can find out by listening to older people talk that's already experienced things along this way. So many ways we can find out, but we've got to find out somehow or other. We've got to know Jesus. Hallelujah. We've got to find out the most intimate parts of the Lord, the most hidden secrets there is about God. If there's any way possible, we've got to find out about Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, that I may know Him. Paul said, I just want to know Him. I just want to know Him. I want to know Him. The first thing he listed about knowing the Lord, he said, and the power of His resurrection. I guess among the three, that's the most glorious part. Everybody likes power, you know. Everybody's looking for power, power, power. Wanting to find something that give them an edge on somebody else. And resurrection power, I guess, is something that all of us would like to seek after. Even the people out in the world, when they die, they'd like to be resurrected one day to live again. They wouldn't like to know that that was the end of their life and it was all going to be over. And they sure don't like to think about that they're going to hell and their life is really going to be over. But resurrection power, and that's the thing that Paul listed first. And I guess somehow it seemed to be in reverse order here. Being made conformable to his death, fellowship of his sufferings, and power of his resurrection. It looks like it ought to be switched around there. But Paul said the power of his resurrection. Oh, that's glorious to think that Jesus, he died, that's glorious, but to think that he rose again, that he came alive, and all those men standing around the tomb, they're guarding the guards, they were struck down and they're blinded. Resurrection power. We like to talk about the day when the Lord's coming back and the dead in Christ are going to be rise first. They're going to rise first. We like to talk about that resurrection power. And then we like to talk about the time when we went down and we came up speaking in another language. We was resurrected to walk in newness of life. You know, we like to talk about that. That's glorious, and there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, I love the power there is in the Lord. I love the power there is in this Holy Ghost. I love the power there is in serving Him. Because if there wasn't any power, what would there be to look forward to? What would be the use of changing over and going away from a different way than we used to if there wasn't exciting, if there wasn't something powerful? But we're in the most powerful thing there ever was on the face of this earth. Hallelujah. And Paul said, the first thing he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Glory. I like that power. It's glorious. I like the power the power of the Lord when someone lays hands on someone and they get their healing just like that. I like to see the power of God in operation when someone has a need, a financial need, and someone prays for them and the Lord meets that need just like that. I like to see that. And most of all, I like to see it when someone comes down to an altar of repentance on their knees and cries out, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. They go down in the water baptismal in the name of Jesus, and they come up speaking in a new language. The power of the Lord has came in their life. Hallelujah. That's great and that's glorious. Hallelujah. Oh, the power of the Lord is wonderful. And Paul loved to talk about the power of the Lord. He loved to speak about the things the Lord would do, the things he had done for him, and the things, the way he had worked, the miracles in life, and the things he would do for people if they would just believe. He loved to talk about that because he talked about it a lot. The power of his resurrection. But that wasn't all it was to it. That's not the only way. That's not the only way to know the Lord. We daily have to experience that power. You know, we've been taught for a long time that we ought to, every day, we ought to get on our knees and pray through. Amen. We should never, 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 never let a week go by that we don't speak in another language as the Spirit gives utterance. And we should never, 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 never let more than a week go by, let a month go by before we do that, because we're helpless without that power. We're not anything. And if we don't realize that, if we've got to the point where we think we can make it without that, something's badly wrong with us. We need to come back down to an altar and repent all over again. The power of the Lord. But then Paul said, and the fellowship of his sufferings. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Now this wasn't quite, you know, people don't like to talk about this as much. They don't like to talk about suffering. None of us like to have pain. I don't like to have pain. I don't pray that the Lord send pain and suffering to me. He's going to send enough of it to make me stronger, I believe, anyhow. I don't pray that he send me a lot of trials my way, because he's going to do it. He's promised us that. He's promised that he's not going to send more on us than we can bear, but he's going to send things our way. The trial of our faith is more precious than gold, Peter said. And I believe it was Peter said another place, said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that try you. Don't think that's strange. Get ready for it, because it's coming. It's coming. But we don't have to go around praying for those things. But when it comes our way, we've got to be ready for it. Those sufferings. He said, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count that just another stepping stone on your way to heaven. Just something else that's going to make you higher. Hallelujah. Paul said, the power of the resurrection, fellowship of the sufferings. That's the way we like to go over it, real quick. Get over the sufferings all real quick and just have the top of the mountain all the time. Wouldn't you like that? How many of you like to have the top of the mountain all the time? Oh, I would. This flesh would. But you know something? My spirit says, I've got to go through those things. Amen. I've got to face those trials. I've got to face those temptations. I've got to go through those valleys because they're going to make me strong. If I will learn to live through the valley, then when I get on the mountaintop, it's going to be great. Hallelujah. Amen. So Paul said the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, what was the fellowship of? How can you suffer the way Jesus did? There's not much way that we can go and be crucified. It wouldn't do us any good. It wouldn't be much use of us going out and say, well, I'm going to die on the cross that I might have life. Because you wouldn't have life. You wouldn't have life because he died once. He died once. He became the propitiation for our sins one time, and that was going to be forever. Hallelujah. Glory. The fellowship of his sufferings, the suffering that Jesus went through. I believe it was more than just the dying on the cross. I believe there was suffering all through his life when he looked about the unbelief, the sorrow he felt when people wouldn't believe the words he had to say. I believe there was pain and suffering in his heart and his mind. I believe that's the right reason that he cried when Lazarus died, because of the unbelief of the people that were standing around, the unbelief of Mary and Martha that were standing there. I don't believe he cried because Lazarus died, because he knew Lazarus was going to live again. He knew that he was fixing to raise Lazarus from the dead, so why was the use of him weeping over Lazarus being dead? Because he was fixing to raise him from the dead. But he was crying, I believe, because he looked out. He asked Martha, he said, don't you believe he's going to live again? And Martha said, yes, I believe he will in the resurrection. Jesus turned to her and said, but I'm the resurrection, the truth, and the life. I'm what's going to make him rise from that from the grave right now, if it so be. Mary, he asked Mary if she believed. And Mary gave him another answer, peculiar answer. She said, Lord, someday he's going to live again. Still they wouldn't. All of these, and Mary is sitting at his feet, grasping his every word he said. He even spoke of Mary and said, Mary has chosen the better part, the good part. She's chosen that. The needful thing, she's chosen that. But still Mary had unbelief in her heart, wouldn't be quick to grasp the things that Jesus was telling her, and he wept. That must have been pain in his heart, suffering even then. I believe he suffered again when he walked out over the city, over the hill, overlooking the city of Jerusalem. He looked out over there and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often thou killest the prophets and stonest them that was sent to thee. How often I would have gathered thee into my wing as a hen gathered her brood unto her. But you would not. You wouldn't listen to me. And he cried because they wouldn't. The scripture said he came into his own. His own received him not. His own received him not. They rejected him. And he told the people that day, as he looked over that, he said, and you're not going to see me no more until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, that had to be a suffering. That had to be suffering to Jesus. How we feel that. I know it. We feel terrible when our friends reject us. We feel terrible when our friends turn their back on us and they don't believe what we have to say. We don't like that. But we shouldn't all get in such a huff and get so mad at them, because Jesus had that done to him one time. That's right. He kept saying, I'll give you my spirit. They was the first ones this Holy Ghost was poured up out upon on the day of Pentecost, was the Jews. That's right. He kept coming back. He keeps reaching back. He keeps saying, I still love you. I still love you. I'm talking about that I may know him. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings. And then we see him as he goes into the garden, and as he kneels to pray. And I believe this was worse than any of the rest of it. I believe this would even be part of the dying. as he knelt there and said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And he was earnestly praying that. I believe that he was praying with everything that his flesh could pray. He was praying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But I believe that right in the middle of that prayer, right in the middle of the sentence, it all came to his mind. He remembered that he had said, had it spoken of by the prophets, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. That the life is in the blood. I believe it he remembered all of that, all in one moment's time. I believe he remembered that in order for it to be a New Testament come into effect, there had to be a death of a testator. If you've got a will handed to you, you can't receive the benefits of it until the person that's written out the will dies. He found fault. The scripture says, if there hadn't been fault with the first covenant, there would have been no need for a second. But he said, having found fault with the first covenant, he said, I'm going to give a new covenant to my people. He said, they're going to be unto me a people, and I'm going to be unto them a God. I'm going to turn over here and read this in Hebrews. It goes right along with what I'm talking about knowing him. He said, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. He said, I'm going to make it possible for everyone, from the very least to the very greatest, that they can know me. That they can know that I'm the Lord. Not just because you're in a particular position can you know him, but if you're just the smallest creature that was ever created, you can still know the Lord. And if you're the greatest, you can still know the Lord. You can still say, I know him. You can still one day look into his face and say, I'm so glad I knew you, Lord. I'm so glad I learned about you. Hallelujah. Oh, he said, I'm going to make a new covenant. But as he prayed there, he said, if it be possible, let it pass from me. But he thought of all of that, and he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad he said, not my will, but thine be done. Hallelujah. If he'd have stopped there, if it be possible, let it pass. And he'd have looked up and called 10,000 of angels. If he'd have called him to come down and take him away. Oh, I wouldn't have life. You wouldn't have life. We wouldn't experience the power of the Lord. We wouldn't be able to feel the presence of the Lord like it's in this place, this very night. Hallelujah. Oh, let's all worship him right now, everyone. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Then he went on and suffered in Pilate's hall as they sped up on him, as they got a crown of thorns and placed it on his head. They asked him, are you a king? He said, thou sayest that I am. They jeered him. Then we see him as Pilate washed his hands and said, I wash my hands of the whole matter. And they led him away up Calvary's hill with the cross on his back. As he went up the hill, been beaten with the 40 stripes save one, weak from the loss of blood, crown of thorns in his head, he trudges his way with the cross on his back, if you can picture it. The fellowships of his suffering. He falls down, stumbles beneath the load. And they had to get Simon to pick up the cross and carry it the rest of the way because he just couldn't make it. And he was no weakling. But if you lost that much blood, if you'd been beaten, if you'd been spat upon, if you'd been mocked, if you'd prayed the kind of prayer he had just got through praying, sweated as great drops of blood, you'd have been weak too. So Simon carried his cross up the hill, but when they got there, they nailed him to the cross. I can't even imagine a nail going through my hand. I've had a nail in my foot, but not drove into my foot. And I can't really remember the pain then, because I know it was nothing compared to the pain as those nails went through his hands, as those nails went through his feet, as they placed him upon the cross and they set the cross in the ground. That's why Paul said that I may know him. Not only in the power of his resurrection, but in the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh God. If we could ever really know what it is to suffer. I heard, some of you may have heard the sermon too, somebody preach, Brother Mark Canby preached, despair and the joy of surrender. I believe that if we could ever surrender like we need to the will of the Lord, then we might could say, I felt a little bit of the suffering that he went through. It's not easy to surrender. I guess that's why so few people do it. Really surrender, I mean. Totally. And sell out to everything. But oh, if we can only get the secret of it and really do it. Really surrender. I said really surrender. And say, Lord, let me feel the suffering that you went through. Let me feel the pain that you went through, if that's what it takes, if that's really what it takes in order to surrender. Oh, Lord. They nailed him to the cross, but that wasn't all. He cried, I thirst. And they stuck up gall and vinegar and said, here it is if you're thirsty. They looked at him and said, if you be the Son of God, come down. The two thieves hanging on each side of him jeered him. Finally, one of them saw his mistake and repented. And the Lord forgave him so graciously and said, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. Even in dying, even in suffering, he still didn't forget humanity. And the people there beside him. He looked down and told John, he said, take my mother home. Take my mother home. Even in all that, he still had time to think about everything else around him. He knew what was going on. He knew why he was dying. He knew that if he died, then this whole world would have the opportunity to know him. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. This whole world would have the chance to say, I know him. I know him. I'm going to hurry on, being made conformable unto his death. And this is a part that is the hardest. And it's even harder than the suffering. It's the dying part. When he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Some thought he cried for Elias, but all he was crying out was saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When we die, when we get to the point that we die to all this flesh, you know, sometimes, and I've been to those times before, and you have too, we have to die daily. We have to die daily. Sometimes some people do it a little more often than others. Some people do it a little more often than others. Some people die. But if you have any kind of walk with the Lord at all, you've had to die. And the hard and the most awful emptiness there ever could be is when you get to that point of death. When you get to that point where your will is surrendered to His will. That's the hardest part of all. It seems like God has forsaken you. That nobody cares about you, that you just can't hardly reach out, that it's the hardest thing that you can do is to grasp for that hand, to reach out and grasp for those nail-scarred hands. The hardest thing that you've ever done to reach out and get what you want in the spirit. It seems like it's almost impossible. Seems like your body almost is about to break in two when you said, oh, I gotta have it more than anything else in the world. That's hard. And that's awful agony. And I believe that's what Jesus was going through. It's just a little bit more severe even. A little bit more severe than we ever go through. When He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had to die in order to live. He had to die in order for us to live. And when He died, the shame, the agony, the scripture said over in Romans, over in Hebrews, He said He endured the cross. He despised the shame, though, and the pain that He went through. He despised all that. But He endured it for the joy. For the joy that was set before Him. You know, that was hard to go through that death. But He said, it's going to be worth it all when I see somebody come down and give their heart to me in prayer. It's going to be worth it all about 50 days from this on the day of Pentecost when multitudes, when over 3,000 are going to stand in one day's time and say, I believe in Jesus and turn their lives over to me, and I'm going to rush through there like a rushing mighty wind, and I'm going to fill them with the Holy Ghost and with the fire. Hallelujah. It's going to be worth it all. And you know what? It's still worth it all. It becomes more and more precious to Him, I believe, every day, every sinner that comes down, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that says, I'm sorry. Oh, it's worth it more. It becomes more worth it every day. Hallelujah. That's why He went through it all. That's why He died. Hallelujah. And that's why we've got to die to this flesh. Because until we die to this flesh, we're never going to bear fruit. I said, we're never going to bear fruit. We're never going to bear fruit. And you've heard about the barren fig tree. I mean, the barren tree that Master said, cut it down. He said, give me one more year to prune around it. One more year. One more year. I wonder how many of us, the Lord says, cut it down. Someone said, one more year, Lord. One more year. One more, just one more chance, Lord. Just a little more time. Just a little more time. That I may know Him. That I may know Him. 1 John 2 and 4, 2, 3 and 4 says, and hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Oh God. Is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You say, what is the commandments of the Lord? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And all the rest of them hang on these two promises, these two commandments. Praise God. Jeremiah, he went through a lot. Preached for 40 years, never had a convert that we know of. And one day he said, I'm going to give it all up. I'm quitting. I'm not going to speak no more in His name. I'm tired of it.
I've wasted 40 years. I've wasted so many years. I don't know when it was that he wrote that. His life. But he said, I've wasted that time and I'm not going to do it anymore. He said, I was going to do that. But then I thought, and I just stopped. And Lamentations, he wrote, he said, I was ready to give up, but then I recalled remembrance. The way the Lord took care of me. The way the Lord loved me. He said, then I got hope again. When I recall to mind that, I get hope again. He said, I'd like to stop, but it's like fire shut up in my bones. I just can't do it. It's something down deep inside of me that keeps me going. When you taste of the Lord, when you get the Lord's experience in your life, the Lord keeps moving through you day after day, month after month, year after year. It's hard to quit. It's so hard that I haven't, in 18 years, I've never found a place I wanted to quit. I've never found a place that I wanted to stop. There may have been places, but I'd never seen them because I had only eyes for one thing. I wanted to know Jesus. I said, I want to know Jesus. It started when I was just a small child, before I could read. I wanted to hear about it out of the Bible storybook. As I got older, I wanted to read about it myself. I wanted to hear more about it. And as I got older, I wanted to find out just how really, really was for me. I began to experience the joy and the happiness there was. The more I found out about him, the more I wanted to find out about him. The more I learn about him, the more I want to learn about him. That's the way it is. In closing tonight, if you will stand. The Apostle Paul, he said, he's the one that wrote, I die daily. He thought so much of knowing the Lord and getting to know him that he said, I die daily. Then he said another place, he said, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. Oh, in another place he said, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the living God? He said, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. So glorify the Lord in your spirit and in your body. Hallelujah. He said, you're not even your own. Oh, he wrote so many other things. I could go on all night talking about the things that Paul wrote along this line. Paul, he wanted to know the Lord so much that everybody saw he talked about the Lord. Every chance he got, he talked about him. He wanted to know the Lord so much, and he wanted everybody else to know him so bad that they had to constrain him at times to keep him from rushing out there into mobs and telling them about the Lord. Why at Ephesus, when they dragged out in the streets and shouted for the space of 2 hours, great is dying of the Ephesians, great is dying of the Ephesians. They was all going crazy out there. He wanted to go out there, but the rest of the disciples and apostles that were there, the rest of the men of the Lord that was there, said, no, you're not going, Paul. They suffered him not to go, the scripture said. But oh, he found ways. He was up on Mars Hill one time, and he found a way to talk about him. He said, you know that God that you ignorantly worship, the one that says to the unknown God, he said, the one you ignorantly worship, let me tell you who he is. He said, he is both Lord and Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. He said, let me tell you something else. He said, your own poets wrote about him. We are his offspring. He said, I'd just like to tell you about Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to tell you how he died, because it's in him that I live, I move, and I have my being. Oh, that's the reason he went to every length that he could, tell everybody he could about Jesus, because he was learning more about him, and he wanted everybody else to. Paul, just before he went to Rome, was shipped over to Rome on a ship. He had been arrested, and he wanted so much to do what the Lord wanted him to do that he appealed to Caesar when he could have got off anyhow and not had to go to Rome. But the Lord appeared unto him and said, Paul, you've been a faithful witness to me in here in Jerusalem. He said, but now you're going to Rome also. You're going to go see Caesar also. So when they asked him, Paul, what are you going to do? He said, I want to go to Rome. I appeal to Caesar. So here we find him, the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, standing before Agrippa. Festus was so moved by what Paul said that he brought Agrippa in to see him, King Agrippa. And King Agrippa looked down at Paul and said, Paul, he said, you're allowed to answer for your own self here today. Nobody else is going to have to answer for you. Paul said, Agrippa, most noble Agrippa, he said, I'm so glad to be able to answer to you. Because he said, and Paul was like this, he said, you know all the customs there is of the Jews. He said, I know you're a learned man. And he said, I want to answer to you personally, and I'm glad that I'm able to. He said, I want to tell you that the reason I'm here today, he said, I'm brought because of the customs of my people. The hope of their calling, the hope that they're looking for, the resurrection, I brought in question because of that. They don't like it because I'm preaching the resurrection of the dead. And that's what they're hoping for, the promise that was delivered unto the fathers. He said, I brought in question because of that. He said, after the way that they call heresy, so worship by the God of my fathers. He said, I've been punished a lot. He said, and one day, I'd been raised by the strictest sect of the Pharisees. But one day I was going to kill some people that I thought was doing wrong. I thought that those Jesus named people, I thought that those people that worship Jesus Christ as God, I thought they was all wrong and all wet. He said, but I was on my road way to Damascus one day, and all of a sudden, I was knocked down by a great light. He said, that light shone from heaven, and I looked up and I said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus. He said, I want you to go on down to Damascus, and he said, you're going to have to witness for me. You're going to be called in question about this thing. He said, but I'm going to give you your sight back, and I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. He said, I went down there. He said, I was faithful to that heavenly calling, that heavenly vision. And I went on down there, and I did just what the Lord told me to. A man met me named Ananias, and he told me, Brother Saul, he said, the Lord sent me here. He baptized me. My sight returned. I got the Holy Ghost. And he said, ever since, you know what I've been doing? I've been preaching about Jesus Christ. Ever since then, I've been telling everybody I see about Jesus. He said, I know. He said, Moses and all the prophets wrote about it. He said, I know you've heard about it, Agrippa, how that Christ should suffer and that he should rise again for our sins. He said, I know you know about it. You know, I know you believe. You believe, Agrippa. You know, I know you believe. Agrippa looked down at him. But before he did, Festus looked at him and said, Paul, you're mad. Much learning's made you mad. Paul said, nuh-uh. He said, Agrippa believes. Agrippa looked at him and said, Paul, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Why couldn't Agrippa's answer been, say, yes, I believe? He had told him about him dying. I've told you about him dying tonight. Our answer must be, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. Paul looked at him, and this was the heartbeat of Paul's whole life. He said, I would that not only you, but all those that hear me would be just like I am, except for these bonds. Totally like I am, except for these bonds. That's how convinced Paul was that it was right. That's how sure he was that he just had to know Jesus. Well, Paul, he went on. I don't know, it wasn't but a couple of years later. He's writing to Timothy. I think it was the same exact book that he wrote. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He said, and the Lord hasn't laid that just up for me either. He said he's got it for all of those that love his appearing. Oh, do you love his appearing? Are you looking for his appearing tonight? But then he, just a little while before he wrote those final words that he wrote and penned to Timothy, he said, I know whom I have believed. I know. I don't know what it was in those 2 years' time, but Paul had said those there in Philippians, the third chapter, he said, it's not as though I'd already obtained, but he still said, I'm still reaching it because I've got to obtain the resurrection of the dead. I've got to get the resurrection of the dead. I've got to be there. I've got to be there. I've got to win Christ. Not as though I've already reached there, but I'm reaching. Someone said the other night, they said, they didn't claim they was perfect, but one thing they were doing, they were striving for perfection. That's what I'm doing. I don't know about you. I'm not perfect. I'm a long way from it. But I'm reaching for it. And one of these days, I believe I'm going to hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear him say, well done? Let's lift our hands and let's worship him tonight. Hallelujah. Let's everybody love him. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I want to know him like Paul knew him. I want to know him like the disciples knew him. But I want to know him like I can know him. Hallelujah. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though me cross for you. Let's all close our eyes and sing it to the Lord. There's room at the cross for you. Hallelujah. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, at the cross for you. Paul said, I know you believe. I know you believe. But Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me. Hallelujah. I know you believe tonight. I don't know you believe that he died for us, but I believe that you believe like Paul did. That we've got to know him. We've got to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Hallelujah. Let's sing this one more time together. Oh, there's room. If anyone wants to pray tonight, we want you to have that opportunity. Hallelujah. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. The millions have come.
there's room at the cross.